That's right. Never say die, baby. It ain't over yet. We're looking at you, Edmonton.
Looking at you, Connor McDavid.
That's right, buddy.
Leon Draisaitl.
Blackhawks hockey is back. When? We're not exactly sure. Maybe Chris Bowden knows. Blackhawks pre, post. Best friends with Troy Murray. Good friends with John Weideman.
I was hoping you could tell me that information about the win.
Well, can you get on the ground floor here, Mr. Bowden? You're in the thick of this. What's going on here? I know that we're in phase two, but when's phase three? And the NBA's got this whole plan. What's the NHL doing? It's on your plate here, Chris Bowden.
Now all of a sudden it's reversed because the NBA finally decided to do something, huh? After the NHL took the lead. That's what we're doing here, huh?
By the way, thank you for being on.
I'm in the more than happy to. I'm in the thick of nothing. But we do know that late last week the NHL decided, okay, phase two is able to start this coming week if teams choose to do so, and if individual players choose to do so, voluntary basis. And the fact that they did that indicates that the playing field is level for at least all the 24 remaining teams that, you know, in terms of local governments, medical authorities, at least for now, those teams can take this next step, I believe, as early as Monday. And the question is, I think by and large, most of these teams to start out will have, you know, a trickle of players come in, those who have been in their respective home cities during this entire time, if they so choose to go in and are comfortable enough going in, based on a lot of the unknowns. But the league has, you know, put the mandate down to be as safe as possible for those who do decide to go in. You know, keep the groups small, if indeed there are groups, and you know, schedule things and spread things out as much as possible to make it as safe as everyone can be through all this.
All right, so here's my thought on the whole thing, and hopefully Chicago gets selected as one of the hubs for this restart, because, you know, the Blackhawks would have a nice advantage being here at home, even if they're not going to have fans in the stands. But it kind of seems to me, Chris, that this is going to be more of a level playing field, period, because everybody's been off for the same amount of time. You're going to have players that were injured at the time the season stopped that are not injured anymore and going to be able to be able to help your club out. And you would think that maybe this 5-12 matchup might end up being like an NCAA tournament 5-12 matchup where you could actually conceivably see a 12 beating a 5.
Yeah, and what's really going to be interesting here is, you know, and you brought up, you know, if they're chosen as a hub city, you know, they could have an advantage. But I don't think there's really been anything, been clarification from the NHL as to, you know, whether they're going to pick a West hub city and an East hub city and then flip those respective teams to travel to the opposite conference. So it's even more of a level playing field. Say if the Blackhawks were here at, you know, if Chicago was chosen as a hub city, or if Edmonton was even chosen as a hub city, you know, they'd have at least the creature comforts. I'm not sure if those teams would then be ordered, even if they're in their home city, to stay in a hotel to further, you know, level things out even more. So there really hasn't been a clarification by the NHL in terms of whether they're going to flip the conferences to, you know, the opposite conferences city. So that remains up in the air. And what's going to be real key through all this is, you know, whether what's been going on over the course of the past 10 days here across the country, across the continent, is going to have an effect on the health status of everyone. I guess we'll have a little better idea in the next 2 or 3 weeks whether that's going to become a factor, not only for Chicago or everyone else in terms of the testing and whatnot. There are just so many myriad factors in all this. But if everyone is able to, as I said a little bit earlier, from what I understand, it's going to be a trickle in most of these cases for these respective teams. I know Pierre LeBrun had a report yesterday about how Toronto has a heavy presence of players who stayed in that city, Pittsburgh as well, and Vegas. I think those were the three that he mentioned where there were still, you know, a heavy presence of players in those respective towns. it's unknown how many Blackhawks are here in town, but we've certainly seen, you know, some social media postings that we know some guys are in fact here recently. And yeah, but I would imagine even whether they're here in the facility or not, at least from a Blackhawks perspective, however quickly they come in, I would very much imagine the leadership of this team is staying in contact with the guys and making sure that they're all doing their due diligence with what they can do at home, even if they don't report, you know, to the training facility as soon as some of the other guys will. Heck, we saw some pictures of Duncan Keith on social media today, and he's looking like a beast as much as ever. So these guys are pretty much, I'm fairly certain, all taking care of themselves pretty well with whatever they can do.
Yeah, that same Duncan Keith picture that they put on The Athletic, it says here that six players were in town as of Friday for the Blackhawks, more than with three more arriving at the end of the week. I don't know exactly if that's spot-on accurate, but wherever they are, I assume they're staying in shape. By the way, Chris Bowden with us here on 720 WGN, who you did see. Did I not see you in The Last Dance? Were you?
You were the star of The Last Dance.
I mean, you were very much up and close with Michael Jordan, Chris Bowden.
Yeah, I think in one of the episodes, there was a little pregame media gathering on one of the episodes, and then I think on the last one, I was among the fools chasing Dennis Rodman down as he was making his way out of the Delta Center after they won number six.
That's right. So. That's what I was like. That's what I'm saying. Like, you were at the finals. That was awesome.
Yeah. It was a wild time to be covering those six and eight years and 3-6 for the Blackhawks. So it hasn't been all bad here in Chicago, even though, those teams spoil us and we're always wanting more, right?
Yeah, I was saying earlier today, too, about, we're talking about baseball maybe going to 50 games and how much of a sprint that has to be. And if anybody really...
Can they get their act together, Andy?
I'd like
Come
to
on,
see
you, guys, you guys are dying to get back to work.
Say,
can
what,
they
you,
just get their act together?
Say what, you go to Bettman's house and find out when they're going to start. I'm going to go to Manfred's. We'll compare restraining orders later, okay?
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, 50 games is such a sprint. And to think that if anybody would question the champion after all is said and done, it would be kind of nuts to do so because you had to get things in order so quickly. And I kind of went back to the Blackhawks of 2013. No one's really questioning that. Yeah. I thought it might be more difficult of a championship to win than even when they played the full season.
Yeah, I think they went 48 games in
99 days. Yeah.
Is there something like that in the regular season? Let's then play for two more months practically every other day. I don't think anything should be taken away from any of these sports, provided they can get their acts together. And, in this hockey situation, it's going to definitely be unique. Knock on wood that we get to this point where they can start the playoff and it runs smoothly. There's no, major setbacks. But whoever comes out of this, and someone as smart and as trustworthy and as accomplished as Barry Trotz comes out yesterday, I saw in one of the articles saying, hey, once this thing starts up, if a 12 seed should happen to make a run, and he believes a 12 seed is capable of doing that in this type of setup and this type of scenario, hats off to them. They're going to deserve it. And I think, it's the old cliche. All you need is one hot goalie, one hot series to get some momentum going. And granted, the way they reseeded this, if we do get to this point, Blackhawks play Edmonton. Say they win that series in some form or fashion, they advance. They then take on the highest seed that comes out of the round robin, the number one seed, because they have decided to reseed after every round. So whether that becomes a St. Louis, a Colorado, a Vegas, or a Dallas, out of the 14 games that the Blackhawks played, those four teams, they had just three wins and a total of 8 points in those 14 games. But when you reset like this and momentum has been halted for so long, sure, when you look at talent on rosters, there are going to be differences and variables, and some teams are definitely going to be better than others on paper. But once you start taking those variables and intangibles into play, I'm kind of excited to see what might happen if we get there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Chris, to paint a scenario where the Blackhawks beat Edmonton. I think you went about 75% of the way there, but let's hear the final 25%. How do they beat the Edmonton Oilers? Let's just tee it up and get some sports excitement going on here.
Well, I mean, they'll have to do it with, their leaders leading the way, and, you know, guys like DeBrinket and Kirby Dach being able to almost play like they have another year of experience under their belts, with Dach no longer a rookie. Corey Crawford's going to have to be hot. And the guy that really killed them in the three-game regular season series, even though the Blackhawks won 2 of 3, was Draisaitl, because I think he picked up 9 points, 10 points, something like that, maybe even more in the three games that he played. And they somehow kept Connor McDavid off the score sheet in the two games that he played. He was injured in another. So finding a way to do that, and then you probably have to hope that, you know, Calvin DeHaan might be able to come back healthy from his shoulder surgery, adds a little bit more experience, a little bit more depth on the blue line, a little bit more reliability. And I think those are kind of the factors, even though Edmonton, during the course of the season, they decided to split up Draisaitl and McDavid. For a long time, they were on the same line together, so that creates another headache. But if the Blackhawks get DeHaan back or able to spread out some of their time defensively, I think those are kind of the ingredients that you have to look at in order for them to get out of there and advance to the second round.
Win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously safety is the number one concern, obviously, when you're dealing with coronavirus and testing and those kind of things. But I would also think that safety, as far as getting these players ready to go after such a long time off, I mean, training camp is how long? And I mean, it's not going to be a full training camp, but they have to have enough time at least to get ready, right?
No, sure. Yeah. I think it's not going to start before the next phase would not begin until July 10th at the earliest. And just say, for instance, guys start coming in this week, that gives them a full month of just reacclimating themselves, getting the training that the team trainers would want, getting back on the ice, because most of these guys, I'm sure, have been off it, and getting themselves acclimated to that point. And then you're probably looking at, you know, probably a 2 or 3 week training camp, and trying to get everybody healthy out of that as well. And, those teams that are able to get the most players in as quickly as possible, whether it's through this individual stuff that's supposed to be beginning this week, or having all systems go by the time training camp starts and keeping those guys healthy, those are the teams you're probably going to have to watch out for, especially with this 3, by that time 4 month break, 5 month break, by the time they get back on the ice again and start playing real games. Like I said a minute ago, the matchups on paper, the personnel on paper, yeah, you're going to have advantages, and other teams are going to have upper hands. But again, it's the crapshoot of the playoffs. And if, you know, the St. Louis Blues can be in last place after 1 week of January a year ago and then end up winning the Stanley Cup, I'm about ready to believe anything right now.
Before you go, Chris, no pressure here, and the Blackhawks have been incredibly buttoned up over there, but who's going to be the next John McDonough?
Oh, I have no idea. I think they're very much still going through that process. And I would imagine that, you know, there's probably nothing more at this point than a couple of names that have been bandied about. And you know, I think what they're probably more focused on, what they're definitely more focused on, is just getting through what this could be, the end of this season. Because while they may have some names in the back of their minds, I think it's still way too early to even, you know, get an odds on favorite of anybody right now. I think right now they're clearly focused on, okay, if we don't have a president, we still have a GM who is in place, and there's still a season to finish here. We still have a head coach who's in place, and there's still a season to finish here. So I think that's strictly their focus right now, even though, I mean, due diligence says that they have to be kicking around a couple names in the back of their minds, or from those people in the decision-making process.
Yeah, makes sense. Chris Bowden, good to be with you, sir.
Good to be with you. Take care. Get that baseball going again, too, huh?
Yeah, we'll do our best.
We're working on it. Talk to you soon, Chris.
See you,
guys.
Chris Bowden, pre, post, intermission, all of it. Your Chicago Blackhawks on 720 WGN.